Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The momentum is being maintained on all sides as Egypt and Israel move toward final agreement on a peace treaty. Doug Sefton reports first from Cairo.
In the informal setting of his Nileside villa, President Sadat, in effect, was making the first official announcement of what has been accomplished in the Middle East. He said, "I think we have achieved peace," adding, "thanks to Jimmy," not bothering to use Carter's last name. In the meantime, the routine procedures for ratification of the long-sought peace agreement are moving forward. The Egyptian cabinet, headed by Prime Minister Khalil, met for a pro forma approval today, but they observed the formalities, complete with a map display to illustrate Israeli pullback in the Sinai. The Egyptian president, over the next few days, has scheduled appearances before his national political party and the Egyptian parliament. But the result is a foregone conclusion. President Sadat said today he will go to Washington for the signing, probably next week, adding facetiously, whether invited or not. Doug Sefton, CBS News, Cairo.
Now today's story in Jerusalem, reported by Dan Raviv.
Defense Minister Asa Weitzman left for Washington this morning on what could be called the $4 billion mission. That's the amount Israel hopes to get from the United States as a one-time grant to pay for the withdrawal from the Sinai and the construction of new air bases in southern Israel. Officials here say the U.S. has already agreed in outline to that financial aid, although Congress has yet to approve. Weitzman told reporters he'd also meet in Washington with Egypt's Defense Minister Kamal Hassan Ali to discuss military details of the peace treaty and more generally what peace will be like.
The main problem will be that we're beginning a new era that none of us have experienced before. Unfortunately, we are all experienced with before, during, and after battle. Now we're experienced before peace. We're going to be experiencing now during peace. I hope it will not be after.
Foreign Minister Dayan told diplomats here that the United States will be deeply involved in the execution of this peace treaty. But, said Dayan, the U.S. does not want formal defense treaties with Israel and Egypt. Dayan is briefing the ruling Likud party, and other parties are meeting to decide how they'll vote in parliament next week. Ratification of the peace treaty is expected by a wide margin. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Arab demonstrations against the treaty broke out again today in the occupied West Bank region. Israeli security forces opened fire, killing two demonstrators, wounding a third. The Israeli army has begun an investigation of the incident.
When it comes to saving you gas money, we have a very simple philosophy at Datsun.
Put your money in the bank, not in the tank. Buy it, Datsun.
At Datsun, we offer you not one, not two, not five, not 10, but 15 different Datsuns that are true gas misers. 15 models EPA rated at 20 miles per gallon or better, including the highest mileage Datsun, the incredible 210 hatchback, EPA rated 28 miles per gallon with standard 4-speed. Use these numbers for comparison, your mileage may differ. At Datsun, you not only get the mileage you want, the quality you want, you get it in the car you want. It's the only way to save.
Put your money in the bank, not in the tank. Buy a Datsun. Datsun, we are driven.
See the awesome Datsun 280ZX pace the Datsun Twin 200 March 25th, Ontario Motor Speedway.
In Washington today, as in Cairo and Jerusalem, the pace of the peace process is rapid. We'll hear about it from CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb.
No dust is being allowed to settle on anything. The Israelis and the Egyptians are sending their defense ministers here to complete the negotiation formally and finally before the peace treaty itself is signed, which is now expected to happen within a week to 10 days. Israel's Asa Weitzman arrives here late today. Egypt's Hassan Ali arrives tomorrow. Both ministers, working with top American officials, have three jobs. First, to finish the military annex to the peace treaty, defining, among other things, exactly what happens on the Sinai as Israel pulls out. Second, to give the lawyers a chance to check the fine print of the treaty once again. And finally, perhaps most important, to discuss the cost of new military arrangements between the United States on the one side and Egypt and Israel on the other. The cost is recognized as high, running into many billions of dollars, but viewed as necessary not only to lubricate the peace process, but also to rebuild the American position in the Middle East following the revolution in Iran. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
An encyclical is an authoritative statement of papal policy. And this morning, Pope John Paul issued the first encyclical of his reign. Jerry Bowen tells us about it.
The 18,000-word document, originally written in Polish by Pope John Paul, outlines his personal philosophy and concerns over the problems facing man, with the major emphasis on human rights. The pontiff expressed concern over the widening gap between the rich countries and the poor, a gap which he says perpetuates unjust social situations and contributes to moral disorder. To correct this problem, the pontiff said one necessary solution may be a wider and more immediate redistribution of riches to help satisfy the essential needs of people in developing countries. In an apparent reference to the Soviet bloc, the pontiff denounced what he called a position that gives only atheism the right of citizenship in public and social life, while believers are treated as second-class citizens or deprived entirely of the rights of citizenship. The pontiff pledged that the Roman Catholic Church will act as the guardian of freedom and of man's true dignity under his pontificate. Vatican observers say his emphasis on human rights is a sharp departure from the policies of his predecessors, that Pope John Paul may be leading the church to a new analysis of contemporary problems. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Rome.
Turkey today dealt the Central Treaty Organization its death blow. Ankara withdrew from the alliance, leaving Britain as the only full member with the U.S. as an associate. Iran's revolutionary government today expelled American human rights activist Ralph Schoenman, charging him with counter-revolutionary activities, and is threatening to deport American feminist leader Kate Millett. And prosecutors are demanding the death sentence for former Prime Minister Hoveyda.
If your pickup truck is guzzling gas on the job, fire it and get a Datsun.
Put your money in the bank, not in the tank. Buy a Datsun.
The gas-stingy Datsun trucks. Every one hauls a bigger payload than some Ford and Chevy half-tonners and does it on far less gas. Every one is EPA rated at 20 miles per gallon. Use these numbers for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Choose from three tough Datsun trucks, including the exclusive Datsun King Cab. Only pickup of any size with reclining bucket seats and extra storage space inside the cab. So pick your quality-built Datsun. It'll work for you, play for you, and save you money to boot.
Put your money in the bank, not in the tank.
Awesome Datsun 280ZX faced the Datsun Twin 200 March 25th, Ontario Motor Speedway.
The border war between China and Vietnam may at last be nearing its end. Peter Collins has the latest.
Reports from Peking, Hanoi, and intelligence sources here in Hong Kong indicate that the Chinese withdrawal from Vietnam is virtually complete, nearly 1 month after the fighting began. The Chinese news agency reports long columns of army troops crossing the border to be greeted by brass bands and young people singing and dancing. But the agency also says Chinese forces are hitting back when attacked during the withdrawal by Vietnamese units. Intelligence sources here say the next day or so may reveal whether the Vietnamese intend to launch their own counterstrike, possibly setting off a new round of fighting that could spill over into China. Radio Hanoi, meanwhile, says the Vietnamese capital remains on full wartime mobilization ordered more than a week ago, with foxholes being dug, schools turned into regiments, and children and old people being evacuated. Hanoi has consistently maintained that China is preparing for new attacks, although it is now also urging the Vietnamese people to begin repairing the damages of war in the northern provinces. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
32-year-old Charles Garwood, a U.S. Marine accused of carrying arms against American forces during the earlier Vietnam War, was supposed to leave Vietnam today after 13 and a half years as a prisoner of war. But when the plane arrived in Bangkok from Ho Chi Minh City, Garwood was not aboard. No explanation. The New England Journal of Medicine today is talking about research into a new way of treating diabetes, a system that Charles Crawford says could do away with the terrible complications that sometimes result from that disease.
The highly experimental approach involves a battery-powered portable unit worn at the waist that, with the press of a button, automatically dispenses the correct amount of insulin before and in between meal periods. 18 volunteer diabetics have been tested with the technique. In nearly all cases, the device, described by Yale New Haven Medical Center's Dr. William Timberlane, has produced near-normal blood sugar levels.
What this pump does is provide a small amount of insulin around the clock, 24 hours a day, and that continuous effect with added insulin that can be given by the pump without taking an extra needle. You're giving over 100 or 200 small injections of insulin over the 24-hour period.
The Yale researchers believe that keeping blood sugar levels near normal 24 hours a day may prevent the serious complications of diabetes, including blindness, blood vessel damage, and kidney failure. However, they caution it will take years of follow-up studies of patients using the portable insulin pump to arrive at any such conclusion. Charles Crawford, CBS News, New York.
The U.S. dollar fell 2 yen today in Tokyo, and it's mixed in Western Europe. In Vienna last night, Ty Babylonia and Randy Gardner of the United States won the pairs title in the World Figure Skating Championships, taking it away from Soviet Russia for the first time in 14 years. The U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament Agency this morning says both this country and the Soviet Union are building and deploying new weapons that could disturb the nuclear balance of terror in the 1980s and 90s. An agency study refers specifically to two proposed American missiles now under development, the MX and the Trident II. Both, the study says, would carry more warheads with greater blast power and a higher degree of accuracy than the Minuteman and Poseidon missiles they're designed to replace. The report from the agency says that the Russians are developing similar capabilities in their new generation of missiles equipped with multiple warheads.